Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can open your Bible and we consider your word. Thank you that we can look at the life that you offer and the favour you give. Please help us to grow in wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. What are the right priorities in life? Our world has a lot to say on priorities, such as human flourishing, relationships, be happy, lots of travel, endless list of priorities. But what tops the list? What's the most important priority? Take, for instance, family. We all know that family is super duper high in priority. That's God's design. Honour your father, your mother. But is it the most important priority? And how are we supposed to know what is the most important priority? Which brings us to our outline or our plan for the day. And that is wisdom. That's how we're supposed to know. And then we'll be able to answer the question with wisdom, what is the most important priority? So that's the outline. You can see where we're going. See, it's not just any wisdom. It's not just any wisdom. The word wisdom today is thrown around willy-nilly like you might a frisbee. But it's targeted wisdom. It's a little bit like visiting a doctor. You're unwell, you tell the doctor. Doctor goes, oh, that's no good. Let me prescribe to you a tablet or two. So it's not just any tablet behind the counter. It's targeted medication. Likewise, wisdom. It's not just any wisdom, but it's God's targeted wisdom. That's what Proverbs is about, God's targeted wisdom, his wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is critical. It's not earned, it's found. So if you can, if you have your Bibles open, turn to verse 35, where you can see on the screen the verse. You can see those very words there, for whoever finds me, because wisdom is a gift. It's of grace. It's something given by God. And if you do find it, you keep it close. Like you might a locket around your neck with a love note. You keep it close. You keep it close because it's extremely useful, wisdom. It's how we know what is the most important and the best way to achieve it. Somebody might ask, well, can it be found? Is it possible to find wisdom? And yes, it is. Yes, it can be found, I believe. And the Bible teaches. A little bit like finding a needle in a haystack. Has anyone ever found a needle in a haystack? Somebody once tried. A fellow by the name of Jim Moran. An American, he spent much of his life, he put a lot of effort into proving the impossible was possible. In the 1930s, hence you can see the black and white, he unloaded about 50 tons of hay and he had someone bury a needle in it. 82 hours and 35 minutes later, he found it. So it can be done. Likewise, wisdom. Sometimes we might say, oh, God's wisdom, can it be found? Yes, it can. It can be found. And it's found by God's grace. What is impossible for man is possible for God. See, Proverbs is all about wisdom. Especially and including other chapters. And these two chapters, one which we read, Proverbs 8 and Proverbs 9, touching on both of these today. Wisdom is like a person. Wisdom is given a person status, a status that speaks. So wisdom is a person who cries out, listen to me, listen. I am better than silver or gold, wisdom says. Wisdom says, I am worth more than jewels. I was there at creation. So wisdom is how God enjoyed and created with wisdom. And wisdom says, I am there with those who deliver justly, those who govern justly. I am there with those who walk uprightly compared with those who walk in folly. They reject me, their works are evil, but those who walk with wisdom, God's wisdom, walk uprightly, walk righteously. And so the question for us to begin with is, to add to the questions already there, is have you found wisdom? Because if you have found wisdom, then you're in a position to answer the next question. And that is, what is the most important priority in life according to God's wisdom? Now, again, if you would ask a lot of people have different answers, but I'm talking about according to God's wisdom. What is the most important priority in life? Well, we continue in verse 35 and we see the answer is life. Forever finds me, and the me is wisdom, finds life. This is life with God. Life with God is right with God. Reconciled to God. At once we were enemies, but then we were reconciled with God. Life with God is a relationship with God. The three R's. Right, reconciled, and relationship. And of course, when we say life, we mean Jesus. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the source of life. In the Gospels, he was always speaking about life to the full. In the Gospel of John, he said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And the ground zero of this life that he gives us is his death on the cross and his resurrection. And so there are priorities such as be comfortable. And that is good, that priority, to aim in life to be comfortable, to attend an excellent school, to have your kids attend an excellent school, to have a great job. That's a good priority. To have a nice house. These are good priorities. But these are not the most important priority. The most important priority is life. Life with God. I know a person who lives in Sydney. I don't think none of you know her, but she's very pretty. She dresses really nicely. She exercises a lot. She's very intelligent, stylish. Everybody loves her. And these are her priority. And you know what? They are good priorities, but they're not the most important priority. Or again, back to family, we all know that family is a super duper high priority. Again, that is God's design. Look after your family. But again, it is not the most important priority. So what is the most important priority in your life? And why is it the most important priority? I believe that Proverbs teaches that if you have wisdom, you have God's wisdom, you will know that God's good creation provides lots of good things, lots of priorities, but God's most important priority in life is to know him, to have a relationship with him, to be reconciled with him. And so you can see what I'm doing here. I'm trying to say that a lot of things that we do are God's gift. They are good. You know, the work, the school, it's all good. But we just got to remember to have God's wisdom is to be concerned about the most important priority in life. And what does VIP stand for? Some of you thinking very important person. No, it stands for very important priority. Yeah,
Okay, I redefined it. Anyway, that's what it stands for. But let's sum up so far. For whoever finds me, the verse, this is wisdom, so not just any type of wisdom. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favour from the Lord. They go hand in hand, the law, life and the Lord's favour. In tennis, a racket and a ball go hand in hand. With Jesus, in Christ, life and the Lord's favour go hand in hand. They go together. So we've looked at life, we're going to look at favour. So favour, God's favour, God's life, God's favour. Every now and then, believers will say something like, I have life now. Okay, I have life now, I have Jesus, and now I must win God's favour. No, not at all. It doesn't work like that. If you have life, you have God's favour right now. You possess God's favour. You have obtained it. You find life, you obtain God's favour. They're not separate. A little bit like adoption. Loving families don't adopt orphans into the family on probation. Hey kid, we'll give you 12 months to win our favour. Doesn't work like that. Likewise, when we have life with Jesus, with God, walk with God, we have God's favour. This is a game changer. This is next level maturity. To know that you have God's favour is to know that you are loved by God and accepted by God. It's moving to the next level of maturity. Okay, so what does it mean to have God's favour? I just want to go a little bit deeper on that subject because I think it's really important. It can affect how we live our life. If we can get it in our heads and put it into practice, it can really help. And again, it's next level maturity as a Christian. So what does it mean to have God's favour? Well, the first thing I want to say is it means that we are free. We are free from the guilt of sin. We are not held captive to what took place in our past. You know, the things done to us or the things done by us, yes, there of course can be consequences, but it doesn't define our destiny. We are free. We are free from the chains. Hell is a place where sinners are shackled by chains so heavy that they cannot be lifted to heaven. But heaven is a place where chains are gone. Free. I cannot be anywhere else but heaven. Heaven is a place like that. And so we're free. This is what it means to have God's favour. And what else does it mean to have God's favour? Identity. The favour that God gives is what forms my identity. And identity is who I am. Who I am. And so in other words, what God thinks of me shapes my identity, not what other people think of me. Or what God says about me shapes my identity, not what other people say about me. You know, there's a lot of believers in church who've been hurt from words. I'm not just talking our church. I'm just generally who've been hurt from words spoken by a loved one. And it can take a lifetime to undo the damage. And it can take a lifetime to learn what is true. And that is what God says about who I am shapes my identity, not what they say. And I suspect some of us have had fathers who have said some very unkind words. Fathers. And we need to learn that the favour of God forms our identity, not what our fathers might or might not have said about us when we were growing up. Identity. God's favour shapes our identity. And so what does it mean to have God's favour? It also means hope. The best is yet to come. I have not missed out. I've not missed out with God. Sometimes we feel like I've missed out. I feel like that at times. I've missed out, but I've not missed out with God. I have hope. The expectations are good. They will be realised. The best is yet to come. Yes, there will be wins in life. Yes, there will be losses, and plenty of times I'm going to be really tired and exhausted. But I have hope. It drives me. It gives me purpose. It gives me meaning. God gives me hope. And what does it mean to have God's favor? There's joy. Jesus is Lord. I'm free from sin. It doesn't control me being enslaved to the things I don't want to do. It doesn't control me ultimately. I can have joy. I can overcome. And also, every good deed I do is not wasted. It lasts forever. Such as loving enemies, praying for people, smiling at someone. That's a good deed. It lasts forever. Donating to charity, serving in church, even returning a shopping trolley. That's a good deed. Opening a door for someone, offering someone a lift, being generous, hugging a brother, hugging a sister. It's stored as treasures in heaven. A lot of people say, yeah, but unbelievers do that. But they are without God's favor because they don't have Jesus. And so whatever they do might accomplish good in the world, but it doesn't, is not credited to them as good, and it will not last. But the believer has Jesus. Every good deed, no matter how small, even a small little kind word that no one else hears other than the person who receives it, that is stored as treasure in heaven. Every time we care for our family as believers, that is stored as treasure in heaven. Every time we forgive someone, every time we have mercy on someone, every time we let someone in traffic because, you know, we're Christian, we're trying to live God's way, every time we let someone in bad traffic, that's stored as treasure in heaven. Everything is stored as treasure. It lasts because we have God's favor. We never lose. God never forgets any good deed. And so it's super valuable. It matters. It brings joy to know that. You know, the atheist teaches that we came from nothing. Once we die, we end up as nothing. Or we came from something, we end up as nothing, and life has no point to it. And all you can do is try and make something out of nothing. But the Christian is, we came from God, we are something, created something out of, and we became something, and we don't become nothing, we last forever, we live forever. And what good deeds we do now are stored as treasures in heaven forever, and they matter. And then ultimately, God's favour again means Jesus. We pray Jesus, praise Jesus now in song and in prayer, but we not only have Jesus now, we have Jesus forever. And so God's favour should affect our lives. Of course, we're not going to be perfect this side of heaven. But if we step back and we think, you know, what are the blessings I have with God? I have Jesus. I have life. I have eternity. I have forgiveness. He frees me from sin. He gives me identity. I'm not held captive to what people think of me. I have hope. I have joy. Have you found life? Well, what are you doing differently now to show that you have life? That you're free? That there's joy? That there's hope? What are you doing differently? What am I doing differently? Now let's end with a short story that I put together that basically runs like this. Once there was a young woman, she was lonely, she lived in Canterbury, suburb of Canterbury, just up the road here, maybe some of you have been there, yeah? She lived in Canterbury. One day she went for a walk to the fields of Campsie, to Flockhart Park, just across the road, and she came across a haystack. It was a huge haystack. Feeling sorry for herself, she buried herself in the haystack, surrounded by the hay flakes.
And every now and then, every few minutes, she would take a hay flake or two and she would ask, is this wisdom? Is that wisdom? But it all seemed a bit futile, a bit pointless, until she accidentally pricked herself with a needle. And she said, what is this? She discovered wisdom. She was so excited that she ran back to Canterbury to tell all her friends, including one of her friends, who was a Christian, and told her that she found wisdom, that she had found life. She had found Jesus. Now, later she would write a song about this, and the lyrics would go something like, I found God on the corner of First and Albert Street, Campsie. But that was later on. In the meantime, she kept wisdom in a locket, around her neck, close to her heart, until such time that she became a Christian. She believed in Jesus. And what a difference this made to her life. Previously, she had been weighed down by burdens, by the chains of life. Previously, she had been weighed down by what other people thought of her. And she had suffered from anxiety. But now, she was free. She was not perfect. At times, she still struggled with the worries of life. But now, in comparison to what she was free. She had hope. She had joy. Previously, she could not smile. Now, she smiled lots. Because the difference that God's favour made. Hey, eventually, she gave her testimony. I think she gave her testimony at Campsie Chinese Congregational. Was anyone there? Yeah? No? It must have been the other service, yeah? Okay, none of us were there. Okay, but apparently she gave her testimony. She said a few words as way of introduction, and then she opened the Bible, and she began her testimony with these words. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favour from the Lord. Let's pray.